Hello and welcome to the BT Football Podcast. I'm Anthony Kendrick and joining me today we've got Liverpool fan Brian Smedley. Hi Brian, you well?
Yeah, cheers. Thanks for having me. Yeah, very well, thanks.
How did you feel yesterday then, after the Newcastle game?
It was, looking at the team sheet, it didn't exactly bring me with any confidence, to be perfectly honest. I don't really like to see the midfield the way we shaped up. And certainly, within 10 minutes of the game, Newcastle defended with obviously the goalkeeper, two banks of four there. I think it's like a good look at us. And you know, we couldn't really offer anything. We couldn't get a decent cross into the box. We couldn't penetrate to them. We were unimaginative. If there was a storm to be weathered, I mean, Newcastle dealt with it very easily.
Well, on balance yesterday, though, there's no way you can say that you deserved anything out of that game.
So, let's
look at something a bit more positive. There's been a couple of good wins recently, away at Chelsea and City.
Yes.
Is it Klopp coming in and improving the side so much, or is it the players better? Why have you played?
Well, I think the players are actually in the daily bread. They're obviously trying harder at training. They're being a lot more committed on the football pitch to play, you know, as I say, to break up opposition football. And the difference being with the likes of Man City, don't expect a team that goes to the Etihad to go there and think, well, oh, they're going to keep coming at us and we don't have to soak up any pressure because we're Man City. And if they do manage to fashion a goal and get in front, which they certainly don't have it in their mindset that teams can do that against them, at their own ground. What they expect is if a team does go 1-0 up against them, that team would then sit and try and defend them for the next 80 minutes, 50 minutes, 40 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever. Mm. And then we will have all the ball and pressure them. And this is where the difference lies, is because Man City said it didn't turn up to defend, and we literally got amongst them by breaking up their play. Mm-hmm. We did exactly the same with Southampton, in a sense, although we were a goal behind very early in the game, but we got right at them. But it's football different than league football because, you know, it's a knockout at the end of the day. One team is going to go through all the night, and there's no replays in it. It's literally going to be dealt with all in one night. So teams are going to more often than not go at each other.
Yeah.
Try and play for penalties. So you get a more open game. Likewise, Chelsea, what do you expect Chelsea to do? Chelsea go 1-0 against you at home within 5 minutes?
Yeah.
You know, we've got to watch out for that because this is a common occurrence. We seem to be conceding goals early on in games, which we've done, like we did with Southampton. But we battled into it. You know, we got back out. And again, because the teams are prepared to try and carry the ball out, and they get caught in possession, and then we counter-attack on that with a high line and plenty of good passing, good midfield movement. You know, you've got Coutinho, Firmino, Lallana, all working off each other. They're very, very skillful, very quick players that can work off each other, and you're going to get, like, loads of goals.
A difference you see under Klopp, though, is Liverpool defend really well from the front. They, you know, their offensive players, you know, really attack the ball. They want to win it back, like the Gengen pressing he's known for.
Yeah. But when you looked at yesterday's game, you see the midfield consisting of, Joe Allen and Lucas Leiva, and then he's got Milner. Now, you know, Milner's not going to hold a midfield position, central midfield, or he's not going to dictate anything in midfield because he'll want to get to the flank, he'll want to try and get a cross in, but then take the head in the net, and he's going to stay on the wing. He isn't going to come inside, you know what I mean? And that's exactly what happened for us. So that just left, basically, the likes of, two very, very average players, like Lucas and Allen, sitting in, holding what would be like a two-man midfield, and sorry, it just fell apart.
But then with the game yesterday, with Henderson obviously injured, Emre Can was suspended, was there anything different Klopp could have done?
I think he could have done, yeah. I'd have liked to maybe started with see whether there was youngsters that we played in the European tie the other week, if there was any of them, you know, Brannigan and people like that were available, that he could have put in there just to mix it up a bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What? And then you know, made a good account of himself, but he's a fullback, isn't he? You know, so but what you could have done there was, you could have looked at the alternatives here, because Alberto Moreno is not a fullback, you know. He could be very effective on the wing, running down. He's not the greatest crosser of the ball, but, you know, he can sort of do that. And if you'd maybe switched him with a fullback, maybe one of the reserve fullbacks, if we could have got someone on there as a fullback, and freed up Moreno to be on the wide side of midfield, play told Milner to sit in centrally and not to move, just sit in and just hunt the ball down.
No, with with Moreno, he's very fast, and but he just doesn't seem to defend well one on ones, which is so important for a fullback.
Yeah.
But he has got something about him.
Yes, but he's got plenty of bouncing going forward, and he's shown the odd occasion now that he can sort of come back and not near the penalty area, like, but in a midfield role or on a winger's role, he can sort of run back and get his leg around the lad to nick it out or nick it off his toe or put it out. And as I say, perhaps would have started with another fullback and freed him up in midfield, told Milner to play centrally in midfield.
Yeah.
As Jordan Ive on the other flank, and to be more active in midfield. And then add Milano, you know, up top with Firmino, with any choice then, you've got Benteke, Origi. I thought Origi would at least deserve to start, but he didn't. And as I say, as soon as you looked at it, you thought, well, Benteke's going to play with his back to goal. He's going to be a target man. He's going to be easily found out. They're going to sit in, and they're just going to pick it off his toe every time he plays, and they're going to bustle off the ball. And that's exactly what happened. And then when on the breakout, you've got Alan's got no pace. Lucas can't tackle his breakfast.
Yeah.
That's yet another performance by him. But he's picked up a yellow card every time that man goes on the football pitch. He picks up a yellow card.
We should have had two against Chelsea.
Well, he should have been sent off against Chelsea. He should have been sent off on the derby, man.
Yeah. Someone else I want to mention.
You're quite right. I mean, players are playing a lot more better, in a sense, on the clock. There's clocks. He likes the ball to play forward, you know, and for people to get involved in the game and not hide anywhere. It's just, unfortunately, he picked the worst combination he could have done.
Yeah.
Newcastle, to be fair to them, the crowd just kept off the back. He defended very well for the first 10, 12 minutes. And then he had a little look at us in midfield and thought, well, we can make it off there, tell you. And then we'll sit in a little bit longer, and then we'll have another little goal. Oh, we've won another battle there. We're winning midfield battles here.
Yeah.
And I pointed it out to somebody who sat with us, and that's three times that the ball's been a 50-50 ball, and we've had more red people to walk near to the ball, in a sense, and only one Newcastle lad gone to win it. And he's actually come away with the ball and made a cleaner pass out of it and more of a threat. We've got to watch that, because we're too lightweight in midfield.
There's another option in midfield, that Jordan Rossiter, who's been called the next Steven Gerrard, potentially. Do you think he's got anything about it? Do you think he's got talent?
Well, again, I mean, you know, that game yesterday could have been a really good game for a couple of the youngsters to figure. And given the morale out of, St. James's Park and Newcastle Demon, they were pretty nervous to begin with, hence the way he set up and the way they're the home side. He didn't want to come off the box, he wanted to sit in a bit. But then they grew in confidence when they seen just how wonderful we were. And they picked us off all the right places for the airport and all the right places. They've done a very clinical job. I've got no qualms about it. They well deserve to win. Although we had two-thirds possession, we had more possession than they did. And they were a little more assertive as well, because we picked up one yellow card with like Lucas trying to pull his shirt or grab his shoulder to pull his shirt. So he did. I mean, he knows he's going to get booked, and he was already warned beforehand about some of his conduct and this, that, and the other. He he's at 80. Sorry, we could do without him. But then on the other side, I mean, look at Newcastle, they picked up 3 yellow cards yesterday.
Yeah.
Even with the 3 yellow cards, he got in, he got stuck in. He knew, you know, when he tackled the Liverpool lads, he felt like he'd been tackled.
Mm-hmm.
Catching play or for something nonchalant, you know what I mean? Like, you could have just seen the man run off the pitch or shadow him away, you know what I mean? You don't have to make any match tackle.
Yeah.
They got stuck in and they deserved it, and that's it. And if other teams now look at that, because Palace have got his worked out, if West Brom, which is coming up the weekend, if they look at it, Tommy Pulis is well and truly capable of turning up at Anfield with two backs of four, sitting in, paying a counter-attacking game, and then doing a similar job what Newcastle did. They're capable of doing that.
Well, they have got a few sneaky wins this season, West Brom. And I think they are capable of pulling off a shock, as you say. It could
be. This is it, because, I mean, the easiest thing to do, this is our vulnerability at the moment with the way we seem to be picking the team, is we've really, really got to start with two natural strikers up front.
Mm-hmm.
And the Southampton game, we actually started with two natural strikers up front. And you can tell such a difference in the game.
Well, of natural strikers, though, what would be the best choice? Because you've got obviously Sturridge, Benteke, your main, and Origi are the main strikers. Yeah. But then you've got players like Firmino, Coutinho, Lallana.
Let Firmino, let Lallana, and hopefully Coutinho can fit. But certainly let Lallana and Firmino have an active midfield role. You know, the main supporting the strikers, not to be strikers themselves. Because what they'll do is they'll take too many touches in the box and not pull the trigger early enough. Where strikers, they don't need, they'll take a touch and then bang, or they'll hit it, bang, or they'll get on it and bang. They'll wait to keep it. And that's exactly what Origi did against Southampton. That's exactly what Sturridge did. And I'm certainly playing at home. You've got to show teams that, like, if you're not prepared to, if you're only going to start with one up front, they're just going to look at you and they're going to say, well, we're our goalkeeper, we're a bank of four in front of them, another bank of five across that,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll just play one loose man up front on the edge of the halfway line, and then we'll just sit and defend, because Liverpool haven't got experience now.
Something I want to come back to, you mentioned Daniel Sturridge. Do you think he's got a future, or do you think he's done with his injuries and that? Do you think his career is going to tail off, or do you think?
It's a hard one, isn't it? I mean, his games played and for goals scored, his career goals to game ratio is as good as anybody, you know, like in the top flight, you know, in the world. You know, he's a goal every other game, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I mean, I think I've got the full facts and figures, but I think he came into the Football League in 2006, and I think he's played a total league cup games, all appearances, missed that near it, all in. I think he's played something like around about 170, 180 times,
mm-hmm.
and that's him. We're talking 18, maybe 9 seasons. That isn't a good return.
No.
You know, in appearances.
Well, he had that one good season.
Games, you know, I what can we do with him? I think we certainly don't want to let him go in the transfer window or any sort like that. He's well under contract at the moment. Let's just see how fit we can get him to play. And if he does have another spell that he wants to be, you know, and doesn't fancy it for too cold, or you know, he's not well enough. Well, you know, we're definitely in a situation where we're going to need to buy Kovac, because he's, you know, certainly in the transfer window.
Do you think it was fair of Klopp to say, he said he's got to learn to manage the pain or something like that about Sturridge?
Yeah, I think it's quite, that was good management, that was good psychology as well, to have actually come up with that. Because he's laid the phone down to him and said, look, you know, we all know in the game, and a lot of the professionals do, and amateurs, and ourselves, you know, you've got a bit of a niggle, and it's that really, oh, God, you know, don't feel too up to date with this. But it's when you cross that white line, you know, you get adrenaline, you get running, you get into the game, you know, and you know, you can run things off. You can run twinges off. You know what I mean? I mean, you can go for you as well as against you. But certainly, players. I know that players have played. I've even played myself, where you've not been 100%, but you put a performance. You've had a go. You give your best, and that's all you can do. And that's always recognised. But if it's as petulant as I've got it in the head that I'm going to pull something today, or I don't feel too good about this, and I can use this as an excuse, and he may have been doing that in the past and just getting away with it. Other people said, right, tell you what, we'll upload you, off you go, and go on to somewhere else. I don't know where he started in, was it Bolton, went to Man City, went to Chelsea, or, and then came to us. But anyway, teams have let him go. We've held on to, I think, for the longest period, I think, not only that, but obviously he hasn't shown the games-wise and season-wise. He's been more off than on.
Okay. Well, what do you think of the other strikers? Like, Origi's come in, he was on loan at Lille last season. He scored the hat-trick. He's not really done much else.
Well, I wouldn't say that, you know. I mean, I seem to remember him scoring some fine goals for Belgium.
I was going to say, for the Belgian team, I know he kept Benteke and Lukaku out of the team, like, last year with the World Cup and that.
Yeah. And he shows all the ability and skills of a natural striker to be clinical, put a goal. You get a shot, you know, you see them white posts and you aim, you get the shot on target, you aim. I mean, out of all our possession yesterday, we only actually had one on target, you know, out of it all yesterday. One shot on target out of all our possession yesterday.
Well, he's only 20. Do you think he's got the potential to be something special?
Yeah, I think he has. If you get the youngsters around them, you know, like Jordan Ive around them, get a playing. And that, Jeff Firmino playing around, and Coutinho, players of that caliber, Lallana playing off him. Yeah, I think he's got it, because he can certainly head a ball, he can hit it, you know what I mean? There's no denying that.
Mm-hmm.
Then he puts his foot through the ball, and he's got an awareness to stay onside at times as well. You know, he can look on the line, he's got, you know, his overall game, he's got it. Mm-hmm. You know, if he's kept away from injuries and he strengthens and he gets broader shoulders on him, and you know, and his pace goes up even more, you know, with strength and that. Yeah, I mean, he's a Belgian international. The Belgians don't play foreign football.
Yeah.
And he's holding, you know, as I say, Ben Techie's teammate, and they also speak the same language. And that, it's,
well, this is my next question. What about Ben Techie? You paid $32.5 million up. I think some would argue you've overspent. Do you think that's fair?
Well, I mean, that was to the other area and whatever committee that we have. I personally wouldn't have bought him for that money. I wouldn't have done that. But you know, they felt pressurised because of the sick notes that we had on and the lack of strike power that we were compelled.
Well, there weren't many other options out there. There wasn't anyone else really who could have joined.
If you look at what Leicester City go and do, they go and get a lad who's played in all four divisions and then he goes and scores 11 goals on the bounce. And it costs £1 million.
But had Liverpool been going out and signing someone who's, you know, even in Championship level scoring goals, you'd be asking questions, surely, of whether he can do it in a Liverpool shirt.
Well, isn't it? You know what I mean? You know, it's meant to be for someone to end up at Liverpool or and actually found, you know, like in the lower leagues, and the actual potential is to start that natural ability. I mean, we did it a lot in the past, and some of these players that we bought in the past, whether you say the game's changed or whatever it is, I mean, one of them was what, Kevin Keegan, double European Footballer of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, got him for like nothing, you know. From Scunthorpe United, and you know, you've got the likes of Phil Neal, looking for the, you know, from the comfortable here as a defender, and his skill and his back here, and all these wonderful players, and they came from the, you know, the lower league. I never ruled that out myself, but to buy someone like Benteke, what we're looking at here, seriously, is the man plays with his back to his own goal, and he's facing the opposition goal, and when the ball comes in that penalty area, he gets on it, he hits it, bodies it, heads it, he feeds off crosses, and he feeds off balls played into him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
From good delivery. But to accommodate that on your side, you've got to then think, well, we'll play a winger's game to accommodate him.
Yeah.
You know, the only other way is you're going to literally pair him up with an out-and-out striker with the likes of Uribe, and he'll start right on his shoulder, or a Daniel Sturridge, and then what they'll do is they'll have the trickery to play off him, where they'll put the fire ball to the big lad, he'll hold it, and then he'll give into the path of an on-all-coming striker to take the ball and score. You know what I mean? Big man, little man, target man. Mm-hmm. You do that with him, add that into his game. But to play him up front, Anthony, to say, well, you hold the line, you stay on side, you stay on your feet, you don't go over petulantly, and you hold it up until the cavalry arrive, and you stay patient, and then that's us. He isn't that type of player, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, and that's not worth £32 million, but like it or not, we've got him, we've signed him, and it gives you options to vary your game. You know, you're not one-dimensional, you can, you know.
You mentioned scouting the lower leagues. There was Joe Gomez, who's coming from Charlton. He did a really good job early in the season before he was injured, playing out of position at fullback as well.
Absolutely, again, unfortunately, with injury there, you know, the lad out there with a long-term injury. You know, same as the Ings lad from Burnley, the centre forward. He's out normally that season, and Henderson, I think it's a person in disguise, fairly honest. But this heel problem hasn't resolved itself, and he's kept away from that football team.
Let's talk about the future then. What are your hopes for the season? Is a top four finish the target?
I'd be more than happy to finish in the top four. I would be very, very pleased to do that. I would show a commitment to playing football in the right way, playing going forward, get as many the youngsters involved in the team as possible, to build up a bit of a dynasty here to last the season, you know, and get into a rhythm of playing where people know when they look at the playing children in the dressing room that they know that I can depend on my next man. You know what I mean? He's going to battle as hard as I am.
Klopp shot down one journalist who said that he asked if Liverpool could win the league, and he said the journalist was crazy.
Well, as I say, I mean, you know, 8-9 weeks into it, he's got us in a semi-final of a cup competition. He's got us in the last 32. So I don't think we would have gone under Rodgers. I think we would have gone out to be better than that. So I don't think we would have been in the European thing. He's got us in the last 32 of that competition. He does seem to favour trying to let youngsters get involved in playing in games. And that's all. Let's just see how it goes. If we can experiment, bring a lot of lads through from the B teams and the A teams into the A teams, and finish four, if we can, or finish in the top four, I'd be ecstatic. I really would be. You know, I'd be more than worth it.
If you ended up finishing like fifth or sixth, though, would you call the season a failure?
If we did so because we played the likes of Lucas and we stuck with Joe Allen and we stuck with the likes of Henderson, it could only be, which I've always said, these players aren't good enough to get you into Europe. They're not that good. Their track record proves it, you know. So it would be like, well, you can have the manager all you want, but if you're going to continue infecting these players, that's the expectations of them. I told you so. It's not what you want to hear, really. But what I would predict is, we need a change of get every chance, get them more actively involved in midfield, and then build around him a dynamic midfield, Coutinho, Firmino, Jordan Ive, and you've got a real dynamic on the goal there.
Oh.
And then, as you say, if you think that isn't a handful to deal with, then up top, you've got Sturridge, Origi, you know, you've got Benteke, Origi, you've got, you know, you've got the Burnley lad back, but that's not going to happen without the season. And he seems like his aim is going to be a lad who's going to be a busy, hard-working, productive footballer that really, really gets in your face. That'd be the type of player that would do that, you know, and carry that philosophy going forward. So, optimistic, very, very optimistic. To finish in the top four, fine. If you don't finish in the top four, because I've mentioned the other people before, I wouldn't be too surprised.
Okay. Just one other thing I want to mention. Tonight you were drawn away to Exeter City in the FA Cup. Is that a good draw for you?
Yeah, as I said. the way football, I think, so we've got these weird and wonderful sort of statistics. Because I think we went up to St James's Park up at Newcastle with all expectations that we have to turn up to win, which is always not a fact, not the greatest thing to do. I don't mind confidence on any side, but you've got that steal about it. Well, we certainly didn't have that. But I knew that from the team. She soon to see the team, she'd go like, oh, this isn't going to be good. And then, out of all the teams we could have drew against, out of them all that popped out, we drew Exeter City, who play at James's Park.
Okay. I'm sure you played there a couple of years ago, I think, a cup game. I think you won.
Yeah, I think we got a... I'm not sure if we got a replay. I think we came back up here and we beat them up here.
I can remember Andy Carroll scoring a screamer.
You may be right. You may be right. But I do remember us going down there. Yeah, I do. Down to, you know, Cornwall, down that way, yeah.
All right, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks. Sorry, go on.
Just not great footballers, though, aren't we, to talk off like them. We just come up the pitch from St James's Park with our tail and our legs. And then at the end of the country, we end up coming off the cup draw tonight, you know. But yeah. we've got some good things to look forward to. You've got the Sion game on Thursday. Now, what does he do? Does he play maybe 4 to 5 senior players? Because we can't go out of the competition now, even if we get beat at home.
You'd rather finish top of the group, though, surely.
Well, you've got two ways you can go in. We can start with four or five senior players, and then the rest of them just put all the kids in, put a complete reserve team out if you can, and the reserve team on the bench. That's given them really good experience, and that. Because at the end of the day, if you look at it, Anthony, if we do finish top of the group, right, it doesn't matter whatever happens if we do finish top of the group, because the teams that drop out of the Champions League, they're going to fall into our group in some way.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether you like it or not, you're gonna come up against that anyway.
Okay.
So you've got that way of looking at it. So maybe finishing second in that competition wouldn't be a bad idea. But we could still. See what I'm saying is, if the emphasis is finishing on top of the group, I can't see what, because it's only going to be wasted, because at the end of the day, you're going to get teams dropping off of the champion, you know, the champion, Champions League. You know, you could get a Man United or a Chelsea or an Arsenal dropping out, and then across Europe or the other team of reasonably good caliber, dropping out, and you're going to face them. So, okay. Or you think, well, you can go the other way and say, I want the same lads, Paul and Lucas, and you're doing, you don't want people to know. But you want basically the spine of the team that got beat at St James' Park. So, right, now's your opportunity. Go for it, right?
Yeah.
Go out there, and then, because we want you with the confidence going up, because we're going to meet the Tony Pulis side, and Tony Pulis knows technically how to. He knows how to pick an away draw. He knows how to pick away wins. He knows. He'll look at teams and fixtures, hold it on the head, and he'll already say, okay, that's where the point there. That's where, 3 points there. This is that.
Yeah.
That's what he knows about it, because he's kept so many football teams from being relegated, and he's pulled them out of it by a tactic he knows his football.
And good luck for the weekend and the Sion game, man.
Yes, thank you, and thanks ever so much for the invitation. No worries. You're very welcome.
Thanks for listening. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Night.